Now we come to the next question in our series, Building Hope, Real People, Real Questions. And the question today is, what do you want? What do we want? And far too often, in fact, we don't know. Actually, we don't have a clue. Now, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, we spent a long weekend in Sydney. It said, I think, that Paris is the only city worth falling in love with. Yeah? But I did it in Sydney again last weekend or the weekend before. It's not a bad second best city to fall for. I suspect that being a visitor is a bit of a seduction, however. You come and you go, and you leave behind the busyness and the downside of mortgages and putting food on the table, da da da. You've got all that at home anyway to come back to. The realities of life as it is really lived by those who live there. But everywhere we went, there were more questions to be asked. You'll be sick of my questions. We sat in a huge food mall under Myer's store on George Street. There were hundreds and hundreds of people there, potentially even thousands, I would think, eating lunch, and it was very noisy. And I stood there, captivated by this huge amount of noise and people eating. And I stood and I looked at the vast numbers of nationalities that were represented there in that food hall. And I wondered, what is this all about? What is this all about? Oh, they were having lunch. They were feeding. It was feeding time. They were fueling their bodies for the afternoon stretch. But why? If you or I had gone and shoulder tapped one or two of them and asked, what do you want out of life? Would they have had a coherent answer? What are they all looking for, I wondered. This mad round of busyness day after day after day after day. Do they know? What's the pot of gold at the end of their rainbow? And young men and young women by the truckload, or trainload actually, going off to work at 6:30 in the morning in their high-vis vests and their heavy-duty boots, preparing for another day of labour under the Australian sun. What's the pot of gold at the end of their rainbow? And why are they doing that? And perhaps more importantly, do any of them know where the rainbow ends? And in therapy, often, I would stop and say to my client or my clients, what do you want? What do you want out of the life that you've been gifted? And more often than you might think, the answer was, I'm not sure. I'm not actually sure. And if I was to ask that question this morning, would you know what it is you want out of life? And I assume that no matter what our ages, we should always aim to give a clear answer. But do we know? Well, there are some people out there who know very clearly what we want, and that's the advertising agencies. Or at least that's what they tell their clients. We'll teach them to know what they should want, so give us your business and we'll go to work on them. And they do. And if all this sounds a bit cynical, please tell me what this sounds like to you. This is a quote from a book I was reading during the week. The function of advertising is to increase people's dissatisfaction with their current state of affairs and to create desires and wants that they don't even know about, and to exploit the dissatisfaction that we know how to create. Advertising uses dissatisfaction to achieve its purpose. So tonight, when you're watching the news and you see all those ads there, be very cautious. Now, if there's any truth in this, and it makes sense to me, I mean, I understand the logic of that. I don't agree with it, but I understand the logic of it. We should be very dubious about advertising from here on out, if we weren't already, of course. So what do you want? What do you want? Do we know? Or will we let someone else persuade us by sleight of their hand? And so the whole point of the series is to stand at the crossroads and look and ask, where are the ancient paths? Where is the good way? And how should we walk in it? And we need to know the answer to that question, because as the prophet Jeremiah told us, that's where we will find rest for our souls. I was also going to mention, and I'll do this right now, before we turn to John's Gospel, the story that Margaret read to us, that on one of the days we were there, we went down to Darling Harbour, which I'm sure most of you know about, and there was a boat fair. It was huge. It was enormous. I don't know how many boats were there, but there were hundreds. And they were really, really elegant boats. Some of them were big and others were small. But my eye caught one that said, "You will be delighted in this elegant craft. $85,500. You will be delighted." You see, they're telling me what I will feel if I own this boat. $85,000. And I thought, that's not right. Just looking at that boat, it's worth more than that. I went back and had another look, and the label said, $85,000 will buy you a 10% share. In this boat. Now, I just mentioned that for what it's worth, but there's a lot of money out there, it seems. A lot of money sloshing around waiting to be spent on big boats. And there were a lot of people who would have purchased. And my question is, do you think that would have made them any happier? And so when we turn to the ancient wisdom, what do we find? Well, we find the story that Margaret read to us this morning. The next day, John, now this is John the Baptizer, not John the Apostle. The next day, John the Baptizer was there again with two of his disciples, and he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Now, when those two disciples heard John say this, they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus said to them, "What do you want?" Now, I can almost hear a tone of impatience, perhaps, irritation in the question. Here are these two men following, more people wanting his time and attention. Can you imagine him turning around and saying, "So what do you want? What do you guys want?" And they said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Now, what a dopey response to such a big question. Jesus has just asked them, "What do you want?" Which is potentially the biggest question anybody could ask you or me. And they reply by saying, "Where are you staying overnight?" How does that work? To give them their due. They might have figured that they needed time to answer the question and that it wouldn't be a bad idea to sit down with Jesus and have a chat. Well, he says, "Come and you will see." And so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the rest of the day with him. Now, what do you think they talked about with Jesus that afternoon? Did Andrew ever resolve his own internal struggles with the question, "What do you want?" Perhaps, perhaps not, we don't know. But he and his brother committed the next day to a journey. It turned out to be a perilous and hugely rewarding journey. And at the heart of the journey was desire, which is what the choir's presentation was all about this morning. O holy Jesus, most merciful Redeemer, most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly. And if you can think all the way back to 1971, if your mind ticks back that far, you'll know the other words that were added to those words in the Godspell, day by day. May I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly day by day. And so that's today's wisdom. What do you want? I want to know Jesus more clearly. I want to love Jesus more dearly. And I want to follow Jesus more nearly day by day. And if that would be our prayer, nothing else, nothing else, where could we be as a community of faith here at St. Mark's? But why, when answering the question, "What do you want?" would we even care to think about Jesus? Just bear with me for a minute. Why would we even care to think about Jesus? Well, the answer is quite straightforward. Jesus is the man who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. You will be free if you follow me." He is, as it's become fashionable to say, the true north. You want a guide? You want a compass point that tells you true north? Jesus is the man. You want to know in which direction to travel? Jesus is your man. Follow him and your life will be full and complete in every possible way. In every possible way. And that's how you will avoid being led astray. Only this morning I heard on the BBC about the disinformation technology that's out there at the moment, And just last month, in July, a merchant sea captain sailing his bulk carrier on the Black Sea noticed that the signals he was receiving from the satellite nav system that he was using were giving really weird readings. In fact, at one point it showed that he'd run his boat aground and he was 5 kilometres inland. Clearly that wasn't the case. The problem apparently is that the signals that come to us from the sat-nav systems that we use aren't encrypted. And anyone who has a nose for a sophisticated hack can cause havoc. And the thought is that that's what was happening. Nobody knows who was doing it, but that's what was happening. So just be careful when you're using Google Maps next time. The little blue dot might not be where you really are. It probably will be fine, but you get the point. There are people out there who are intentionally intending to provide wrong information about which direction you're headed in. But Jesus, you see, gives us a true reading, and there is no need to doubt or wonder. So how do we get there? Well, we know that if there is to be a way, there has to be a will. That's the first thing. If we don't want it, we won't go there. And we get to willing through wishing and then on deciding. And the problem is that many of us are wish-blocked and we don't know what we want. And the tragedy of this is that we then become dependent on others to provide the direction we need for ourselves. We even look to others to tell us who we are. Others of us have difficulty deciding. Oh, we know what we want and what we must do, but we find it difficult actually to decide. And perhaps that's why Andrew and Peter needed all the time they could get with Jesus to figure these things out. Difficult to decide? Yes. Difficult to act? Yes. Why? Because when we decide, we cut off our options. And that's why so many of us avoid decision making. That's the nature of choosing. So Jesus asked the two men who were following him, "What do you want?" And they couldn't answer. So why would we even bother answering the same question? Because at the bottom of it, it's all a matter of living or dying. And I want to finish with these words. Do you recall last week when we talked about Job? The last three words of the book in Job chapter 42 are, "He died an old man, a full life." So what do you want? I would love to be able to say at the end of my life that it's been a full one. And that through the good times and the bad times, the times of joy and the times of pain and despair, it's been a life lived fully. That's what makes us human. A life lived fully. What do you want? I wish for you that you'd be able to say at the end of your life that you've lived a life that has been full. And I was just thinking about that in relation to the testimony we read about Marge before. That's what she did. Yeah. She lived a full life in times of difficulty and times of joy. And she went through a lot of difficulties, especially in Zimbabwe at the time of the when the farms were being taken over. Yeah. So there it is. I don't know how to finish, so I better stop.